Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Imogen Ragone, who's an Alexander Technique teacher and website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. And we're going to talk today about something that I've labeled, or I call Up With Gravity, which is a method of learning how to harness the power of gravity to release tension and lighten up. And Imogen, I have talked Imogen through a number of the processes of that system, and she has done some teaching of it to her own students. We're going to talk about really the first phase of the Up With Gravity process, which consists of locating where your center of gravity is and how to direct it in a way that's beneficial to that makes your posture and movements a little more easy. And we're just going to talk today about her experiences with that. Imogen, welcome to the show.
Oh, very glad to be here, Robert.
Well, you know, we've the history of this is that at the AGM in New York, I showed you the very first aspect of it, which is basically locating your center of gravity and then directing it in walking a bit. Mm-hmm. And then we've done some follow-up stuff that we may talk about later in separate interviews. But I'd like to know, first of all, how that process worked for you personally, and then we'll talk about how you've used it in your teaching.
When you just first introduced it to me and had me walk by directing my moving my center of gravity, that's really how I think of it, rather than it being separate from me. It was actually quite surprising how effective it was at allowing me to kind of walk as a whole, that no one part kind of got ahead of itself, as we're so prone to doing, right? With sticking our head out or our chest or legs or whatever. It just seemed to, without too much sort of managing of the whole thing, allow me just to walk in a kind of very integrated way.
And maybe we should say just a little about the imagery and also the location of center of gravity. We're talking about someone's overall center of gravity, which is located approximately at a level about 2 inches below your navel, and it's pretty much exactly in the middle of you at that point, front to back and side to side. And because there's no really good marker there that you can sense, there's no joint, there's no bone there, it's an infinitesimally small point. In order to access it and use it, at least I've found that it's very helpful to use some very simple imagery. Do you want to describe some of the images that you've been experimenting with?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess the first one we worked with was imagining a line going front to back through my center of gravity. You could almost imagine it like an arrow whatever. So I kind of experimented with that one. And then the next one was imagining a line, this time going side to side through the center of gravity.
And then moving that entire line forward.
And moving that. And it is interesting how I definitely have my preference, which is the side to side line. Who knows why, but I guess we all have our own little individual.
Yeah, in my experience showing this to people, almost everyone does have a preference, and I don't know, I think maybe there's a slight, the arrow is a little bit more the favorite, but the side-to-side one is also very, very popular. And then there's The Circle,
That's right.
which is basically a circle enveloping your body at that level, again, 2 inches below your navel, and you can move that whole horizontal, as it were, circle through space. And you can also treat the circle a little like a steering wheel on a car. That is, when you want to turn left, you just turn the circle to the left, and when you
Yeah,
turn right, you turn the circle to the right. And that's the same thing you can do with the lines as well.
sure. Since you mentioned the kind of imagining the circle more like a steering wheel, it became a lot more appealing to me, and I quite like the steering wheel. It seems like a nice image to sort of get hold of and steer around.
Right. I mean, the image is,
And again, there's still somehow lines going through the center to me. Maybe the steering wheel feels like that, I don't know,
well,
but
you could imagine a steering wheel with lines, diagonal lines, and of course they w a number of diagonal lines, and they would all pass through the center of your pass through your center of gravity, and then you just turn the wheel, and of course you're also turning those imaginary lines at the same time. Yeah. I think you said you experimented with an X at one point. Is that
Yeah, and
right?
I did like that. It's funny that I've kind of come back to some of the more simpler images, but I kind of will go back to that occasionally. So instead of either a front to back or a side to side line, it was like two diagonal lines, like an X if you were looking like a bird's eye view going through the
Well,
center.
the thing about these images is, and it's really important, I think, to be really clear that they are just images. They're not
Yes.
reality, but they are an extremely effective way of mentally connecting with this infinitesimally small point, which is located right in the center of you, 2 inches below your abdomen. And it's maybe worth saying that that point, it's almost an imaginary point, but it's very real in terms of the gravitational force that is acting on you at any point in time, because it see when it sees you, and I'm putting "sees" in quotes here,
Sure.
it sees your entire weight compressed to that imaginary point. So, that to me, that means that if that's the case, and since gravity doesn't really show any signs of changing anytime soon, we'd probably do well to cooperate with it and utilize it. And in order to utilize it, most people really need some kind of an image. I know, for example, in Tai Chi, they talk about the Dantian point, and that is exactly the same center that I'm talking about. And their way of locating it is to kind of put their hands in a part of a large circle around it, imagining a circle or an energy circle or something. So they're using a circle, or you could even imagine a smaller circle, a sphere. Not a circle, but a sphere is what I meant to say. You could imagine a sphere inside your body with its center at your center of gravity. The important thing is that and as far as I know, everyone needs some method of in order to mentally connect with it. I can't imagine, I might be wrong about this, but I find it hard to imagine that someone could really utilize that center very well as just an infinitesimal point.
Well, I know I would find that very hard,
But
so
I mean, it's possible. It's but as I said, there's no marker there. There's no there's it's probably in the middle of an intestine or something. I mean, it's not a very it's a tricky place to access. So you've experimented with moving, walking. Have you done any other activities using that kind of directing?
I'd say they're the main ones. I have done a little bit of running, and it's useful with that too.
Well, and maybe we should talk about the and just for people listening, you can really use this for any activity you're doing. Now, we're talking about your center of gravity when you're basically standing. So, for example, if you wanted to climb a staircase,
Oh, yes,
you could just walk up the staircase in your usual way and then
and I
walk
have done
down
that.
and then, connect with an arrow or a line or whatever image you want and just move that image up the stairs. And of course, the rest of you is going to be part of that and move that image down. And you might find that the way in which your legs move, for example, might be a little different. The process might be a little easier or lighter. That's the kind of thing you could experiment with. Getting in and out of a car could be an interesting one. There are all sorts of activities that you could experiment with, but a major one that we really haven't touched on is sitting in a chair, starting from sitting in a chair, where the relevant center of gravity is different because the surface that's bearing your weight, or the weight of your head and torso and maybe part of your arms, is higher up, and you're sitting on it. Your legs are not really that as relevant in terms of the center of gravity if you're just moving your torso around. Do you want to talk a little about that?
Yeah, I found this really useful sitting at the computer. But yeah, so describing the place, so the way I understand it is sort of just below the bottom of the sternum, just where.
Yeah, that's close enough, I think. I have to say that unlike your standing center of gravity, which is highly, it's been measured many times and is known with a very high level of precision, within a half an inch, certainly for anybody. Sitting in a chair, everything's a little murkier. Your arms are maybe resting on your legs or maybe resting on an armrest. And it's not exactly clear always what it is that's resting on the chair. Like if you're sitting on your sits bones, which hopefully you are, that's one thing. But of course, most people, when they're sitting, not, aren't necessarily doing that initially, and that changes the location a bit. But I think you can abstract from all that and just say it's pretty close to the bottom or just below the bottom of your sternum.
And of course, in
And
the right in the middle,
it,
though,
I don't
right?
know if it's exactly right in the middle there. I think it might be a little towards the back of your body at that point. But you can use the same sort of images to access it, a line or an arrow or a side-to-side line. And if you want to move around in the chair, like come forward and backwards, you can compare your habitual way of doing that with simply moving the arrow or the line back and forth, and you can switch back and forth. You've used that sitting at your
Yeah, and I
computer.
that again, it was quite a surprise how easy it was and how my movement improved. And I do like the front to back line, the sort of double-headed arrow, if you like, for thinking of that direction, kind of going back and forth, as being very helpful.
So there's a whole nother application, and it's worth, I think it's worth spending some time with the sitting one, because that is something we do a lot these days, and it's something that inherently most, I think it's been pretty well shown that most people, when they sit, put more harmful pressure on their themselves than when they stand. Sitting seems to be the most challenging from that point of view, and it's really helpful to use the center of gravity process And particularly in situations where you can't just get up and walk around, or you can't do something to call a lot of attention to yourself, like you're at a meeting, or maybe you're in a concert, or you're just basically stuck in the chair for long periods of time, or a seat, like on an airplane. You want a way to work on yourself a little bit. The center of gravity is a great way to do it, and actually, this is anticipating a little bit the next stage, but there is an add-on process to this where it really becomes quite useful. We won't talk about that right now, but and in terms of your students that you've worked with this on, what's been your experience with that?
Well, the main way I've worked with students so far has really been with locating their kind of overall center of gravity and working with moving that around. And for every single one I've introduced it to, some of them very early on, maybe even in their first lesson, it's really been tremendously helpful and effective that they all move in a more efficient, lighter, more integrated way, just by thinking about moving their center of gravity.
Instead of just moving in their habitual way,
Or, and it's, I guess what appeals to me about it is really something they can immediately take with them to work with on their own. It's very accessible. So, almost everyone I've worked with comes back the next week and tells me how they've tried it out while they were doing this or that, and it's been useful.
Right. And is there anything else you want to say about your experience or working with your students using this method? Using really the first stage of this method, I guess we could say.
Absolutely. Well, really, I think that is my main point, is that just how accessible it's been for people, and how really with very little, because I'm giving them Alexander Technique lessons, but they can really take this straight away, whereas I don't think, or it's not been my experience with my students, that they can't immediately take the more traditional direction straight away and work with them successfully. Does that, that takes a little bit more time to kind of really understand, but this is, has much more immediate application.
And as we'll see in future conversations and in future material on the site, it can in fact dovetail very nicely with Alexander Technique directing, but
Absolutely.
we'll get to that later on. But in the meantime, the challenge that I've been working on is putting the instructions for doing what we've just talked about and the subsequent steps in writing in a form that will be hopefully as accessible as talking someone through it, either in person or over the phone or using Skype. And so if your chances are, if you're listening to this, you may be listening to it from one of those blog posts. And I definitely would appreciate any feedback on how the instruction did the instructions make sense to you? Do you have any suggestions on changing wording? That sort of thing. Because this does represent the first time I've put this material in writing. So I guess that's maybe a good place to end our talk for now. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
So my guest has been Imogen Ragone. And she is an Alexander Technique teacher and a website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. And Imogen, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.